Welcome to Hallie Healthcast, the wellness podcast from Hallie Health, your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Each episode on our podcast addresses a new topic important to your health and well-being, bringing in doctors, specialists, and other health experts who offer advice and answer your most pressing questions. Today's episode is all about nutrition. March is National Nutrition Month, so it's the perfect time to learn more about this important topic. Here with us is Michaela Cruz. She is a registered dietitian at Kroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Welcome, Ms. Cruz, and thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your knowledge. Let's begin with the inspiration for today's topic, National Nutrition Month, the annual campaign created by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics to encourage us all to learn more about making informed food choices and developing healthy eating and physical activity habits that we could follow throughout the year. So this year's theme is Beyond the Table. Now, Ms. Cruz, that truly is a provocative theme, but what does it mean exactly, both to you as a clinician and for our general audience?
It is possible today to eat all of your meals without ever growing your food, harvesting your food, cooking your food, or even knowing how to do any of those steps. So to me, Beyond the Table reminds me that our connection with food goes beyond sitting down to the table to eat. When we are mindful of where our food came from, how it was prepared, what resources, time, and labor went into bringing that food to your table, then we're taking an important step to having a healthy relationship with food. I believe that connection to your food beyond the table is essential to becoming a more mindful eater.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Ms. Cruz. That certainly brings the message of Nutrition Month home. So it's really all about thinking healthy before we eat, isn't it? Now, Ms. Cruz, how important is mindful eating to our overall health, and how do we go about making it a habit?
Mindful eating is a sustainable way to have a healthy relationship with food, and it will serve us well for a lifetime. So mindful eating is not about what food you ate today or what food you eat tomorrow. It's about learning how to enjoy food. And I mean all foods, including healthy foods, including foods' natural flavors without added salt, fat, and sugar. It's about learning to appreciate food, appreciate all of the senses that it stimulates, and appreciate all of the people that made it possible for you to eat that food. Appreciate that you have food. And that enjoyment and appreciation can help us slow down, honor our hunger and satiety cues, choose foods for nutrition and taste, because we don't feel deprived when we eat a healthy meal instead of junk food. We feel nourished. And we don't feel the need to overeat junk food because we savored and appreciated the small amounts that we did eat. I think that mindfulness is a way of life and that people who practice mindfulness in other areas of their life can apply those same principles to their food. So mindful eaters are eating in the present moment, paying attention to the food they eat, and paying attention to all of the senses that food stimulates. Mindful eaters don't judge food. They don't label foods as good or bad. They don't try to avoid all unpleasantness like a taste or texture or smell that wasn't your favorite or avoiding a food because of its nutrition. They just experience the experience without distractions, without judgment, without thoughts of the past or future. So a common tradition before meals is some sort of expression of gratitude or thanks. And this is a great way to increase mindfulness at the start of a meal. In our house, we will often do an exercise where we try to think of all the people who are responsible for bringing that meal to our table. So we usually start with the farmers who grew the food. And then we realize that there's multiple ingredients in most of our food. So we have to acknowledge the growers of each raw ingredient. And then we move on to the people who harvested the food, who processed the food, who transported it to the stores, who stocked it on the shelves, who checked out the food at the cash register. And then we think about all the people who made those people's jobs possible, like the people who invented farm equipment and the people who invented each part that makes up each type of farm equipment. Of course, it's impossible, right? Because every bite of food you eat likely has an immeasurable amount of people responsible for getting that food at your table. And when you put gratitude at the center of your eating, you can feel satisfied with whatever food you're eating. It becomes less important to seek out only the cheapest or tastiest or fastest food. Eating becomes something to be enjoyed. not a chore to be done with. And then during the meal, I believe that the single most important thing you can do is slow down your eating. Because eating slowly is so crucial to being able to identify your hunger and fullness cues. Before we ever even knew what a calorie was, humans have been able to regulate their food intake and eat the right amount of food, and it's as simple as listening to our body's cues or signals. But unfortunately, there are so many pressures that move us away from this simple process. We eat for stress, we eat for celebration, for comfort. We are too pressed for time to pay attention to what we eat, or even to eat at all sometimes. We are too distracted with multitasking at mealtime. We ignore these signals so often that our body stops sending them. You know, we skip breakfast often enough and our stomach stops growling at breakfast time. Or we stretch out our stomach from frequent overeating and now our stomach can comfortably hold more food than it really needs. We take an antacid after eating an overly greasy meal and now we don't feel the need to avoid that much grease next time. So if mindfulness has not been a practice in your life yet, and you just want easier, more tangible tips that you can implement right away, then I suggest eat off of smaller plates. Use smaller utensils and put your fork down between bites. Dish up smaller portions of food and keep the leftovers off the table. Then make yourself wait 10 minutes before you go back for more food. If you put those stops in place to help slow down your eating, you'll have that time to check in with your body. So you can tune into your meal. Don't tune into your devices. Turn off those screens so you can focus on the meal time. And set up a pleasant meal environment. Maybe it's a clean, well-decorated table. Maybe it's music, lighting. Make the eating experience an enjoyable one. You can also increase your awareness of your eating patterns in the short term by keeping a food diary. So get connected to your food. Try growing a vegetable, even if it's just a pot of herbs on your kitchen windowsill. Learn to cook a new vegetable in a way that you enjoy. Mindfulness is a practice that takes time to build, but these are simple steps you can do today.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Ms. Cruz, for that perfectly mind-expanding answer. You've definitely given us some food for thought. But what about our kids who, like the rest of us, are exposed to all sorts of sweets and junk food on a constant basis? With all that peer and social pressure to eat unhealthy, how do we interest our youngsters in mindful eating and nutrition?
Well, you're in luck because I have the magic word to get kids to eat healthy. So all the evidence-based practices, all my own personal experiences as a parent, can be summed up in just one word. And once you know what this word is, you'll likely be able to come up with all kinds of ideas for how to get your kids to eat healthy without needing any more tips from me. So,
all right.
Can you guess what the magic word is?
Oh, gosh. I don't. Snacks?
Well, if you are wondering what the magic word is, then you already know that it works because the word is curiosity. When you make your kids curious about food, they will expand their own palates and be more mindful and understanding and connected to the food that they are eating. So the evidence-based practices that have been shown to work, like gardening with kids, cooking with kids, taste testing, they all play to a child's natural curiosity. I know the first time my daughter ever ate asparagus was when she harvested it herself from our garden. And the first time my son ever ate eggs was after we visited my coworker's chicken farm and he gathered the eggs himself. And when my kids were gifted this variety pack of really unique international foods, they tried every single one. And the reason was because we turned it into a TV show where they recorded themselves teaching about where the food came from and rating each food on a variety of characteristics. So make your kids curious about food like I made you curious about the magic word.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you, Ms. Cruz. Those are some really, really great ideas. Well, we've been talking about food choices and how to make good ones. So let's get right to the meat of the matter, if you will. Ms. Cruz, what are the healthiest and most nutritious foods that we can put on our plate? And what do you recommend that everyone should include in their diet?
Too much of our diet culture is focused on what we shouldn't eat, right? That we forget about all those foods that we should be working into our diet. I think if we didn't talk about food restriction at all, if we only focused on all the foods we were supposed to be eating each day, we wouldn't have room for large amounts of unhealthy food. So my first piece of advice is what parents have been telling their kids for generations and what the Dietary Guidelines for Americans have been emphasizing for decades. Eat your fruits and vegetables, right? It sounds so simple, so boring. And yet, the CDC says that only 1 in 10 American adults actually does this. Fruits and veggies are some of our most filling, our lowest calorie foods. If we consumed the 5 cups a day that we're supposed to, they would naturally replace those higher calorie, nutrient poor foods that we're filling up on instead. Then once you've accomplished eating enough fruits and vegetables, you can work on the other food groups that are recommended by the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. So your 3 a day of dairy, get in your legumes 3 times a week, get in your fish 2x a week, get 1 ounce of nuts a day, get 3 whole grains a day, fill up on the food that nourishes your body.
Wow, I'm getting hungry just thinking of all of those marvelous healthy foods. And we're recording this right before lunchtime, so hopefully no one can hear my stomach grumbling. But thank you, Ms. Cruz, for that terrific answer. All right, so the last question for today, thinking again of this month's nutrition theme, which is Beyond the Table. Take us beyond the table and beyond this month, if you would, and tell us what message you'd want everyone, everywhere, all year round to know about nutrition and healthy eating.
Get connected to your food beyond the table. So garden, cook, create a beautiful meal environment, and slow down and enjoy your eating experience. These are tools that will make healthy eating last for a lifetime. And of course, eat your fruits and vegetables.
Well, there you go. That is excellent, Ms. Cruz. Let's hope everyone takes your message to heart and we all eat healthier and smarter hereafter. Ms. Cruz, you've been an absolute pleasure to have on our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and for all that you do every day at Carle Foundation Hospital for so many people and families. That concludes today's Halley HealthCast. Tune in next time as we tackle yet another topic important for your health and well-being. And remember, Halley Health is your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Visit Halley.com, that's Halley.com, for resources, information, tips, and much more. Let us help keep you and your family healthy and well. Thanks for listening. We hope you tune in again.